Hello, America. If you're looking for a roadmap to financial health and smart investing, remember, money meets at the intersection of Mulholland and Cooperstock. After your family and your health, your money, your investments should be number three on your life top 10 list. I am Mark Cooperstock, and along with my partner, Stephen Mulholland, a CFA charter holder and CFP, are the principals of Mulholland and Cooperstock Asset Management. Our firm is a registered investment advisor with offices in San Diego and Summerlin, Nevada, with only one goal in mind: to provide meaningful, thoughtful, and tax-efficient advice. We provide investment and generational wealth management guidance while keeping an eye on the economy and the markets. So come along, join us on this journey as we look to help you navigate the superhighway of financial news and global markets amidst the daily traffic of forecasts, speculators, and prognostications. You have arrived. Remember, money meets at the intersection of Mulholland and Cooperstock. Engineer Griff is busy studying and partying, we're sure, at Wash U. So let's welcome my partner, Stephen Mulholland. Stephen, where will we go today?
Hey, Mark. Good afternoon. Happy weekend. It is April 12th, 1:18 p.m. That means the market has closed. The U.S. dollar just had its strongest weekly performance against all G10 currencies for the last year and a half, appreciating against every currency except for the yen on Friday. One of the reasons was paradoxically the inflation report. You may think inflation is not so good for the United States dollar, but traders are quickly implicating that the Fed will be slower to cut rates, so rates will stay higher for longer, which is strong, good for the U.S. dollar. Mark, I know you've read the inflation report the minute that it came out, but let's go into the details of the inflation report. The CPI core, ex food and energy, came in at positive 0.4% against expectations of 0.3%. That's a whole 10 basis points or 0.1% above expectations. On an annualized basis, that was positive 3.8%. It's pretty incredible to see the treasury yields jump. How much did the 10-year yield jump on that day, Mark?
I think it jumped 11 or 12 basis points. I mean,
double digits.
I mean, the 10-year's up 28 basis points since April Fool's Day.
Well, that's appropriate to say April Fool's Day, because the idea that the federal government can calculate inflation so accurately that a 10 basis point difference versus expectations should move the markets that way is a bit silly.
They do calculate it very accurately into that detail until they adjust it 2 or 3 months down the road.
Exactly.
Which tends to happen quite a bit. So, but you know, you have to take things, you know, in relative terms, and looking at the numbers versus the expectation, it was not well received by the markets.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. So CPIU rose 0.4%, exactly in line with expectations, plus 3.5%. Half of the increase came from shelter and gasoline. If you own your own home, you can take a good chunk of that inflation away. Or if you live in a rent-controlled city like San Francisco, inflation truly is a personal number. And considering how important housing is to the average American and to these inflation numbers, whether or not you own your home or your landlord increased your rent, your personal inflation number can be quite different than the national figure. So half of the increase came from shelter and gasoline. The Federal Reserve likes to look at core inflation, which excludes food and energy. That's the one that came in a whopping 10 basis points above expectations. Components that rose, Mark, as we mentioned, shelter, car insurance. Car insurance rose by 21%. There was a gentleman on CNBC, I think it was Brian Sullivan, hypothesizing the reason for this based on his research is that cars have so much more technology these days that it's much more expensive to repair. I know now that my 1-year-old Honda CRV has had its windshield cracked twice, It's a much more laborious and costly process to get those video cameras aligned correctly when you change the gas. So the hypothesis for rising car insurance costs, that is the greater technology in cars and also EVs. Evidently, it's common when an EV is in a bad accident, it just gets totaled rather than repaired. So all of these things add up to more expensive claims and more expensive insurance premiums. So 21% really stuck out. Other items that increased: medical care, clothes, personal care. The components that went down in price: used car prices, recreation went up. Cost of tickets at sporting events was up 11%. Mark, I know you've been going to some concerts lately. The ticket prices and fees are getting pretty astronomical.
I think that should be renamed the Taylor Swift effect.
The Taylor Swift effect, indeed. Interestingly, if you take out shelter, the CPI core was 2.4%. So kind of in line with what the Fed's hoping for. There was a good post by Bill McBride at Calculated Risk, who has been talking about the lag. So the majority of the shelter increase is actually from rents. There's a pretty big lag effect. There's been a lot of apartments constructed. So Bill McBride's pretty sanguine on that the rent component of inflation should be coming down just with the lagged effect. So for people who want to see that inflation going down, which I think is everyone, especially the Fed, there's some optimism around falling rents that should flow through to the inflation figures. Shelter inflation peaked at 8%. Currently, it's running at a 5.5% rate, so still way too high. I think you don't need to explain that to anyone in California or Nevada that the cost of housing has been increasing. But there's some room for optimism. Cumulatively, Mark, and not to wade into politics, but if you study, a friend just sent a poll where they're asking voters in swing states what the number one issue for them is in the presidential election coming up in November. 74% of people said the cost of living, and cumulatively prices are 20% higher than before the pandemic. So that's both taken a bite out of Americans' wallets and also something that voters are very upset about.
Yeah, my the old adage, and I know my parents weren't alone in this, but I remember them saying, America votes with its wallet. You know, and that's, I think that's true. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if that holds this year.
Absolutely. And this is an interesting, good couple of segues. Mark, what do you think are the top, if you were to think of the top 10 currencies in the world, you know, the total value, we're using, let's say something like M2, cash and deposits. What do you think the 10 largest global currencies are?
First of all, I expect David Letterman to walk into your screen any moment and sit down. Here's the top 10 list. That's a reference that some of our clients won't understand. Oh my God, I'm old. Anyways, the top 10 currencies, you would think the US dollar. You'd think let's go with countries, Japanese yen, China.
Batting 1,000 so far.
There I go. India.
You know, so actually that's a good segue. The Indian rupee is the ninth largest currency in the world. And do you know what is two spots ahead in the seventh position?
It's Taiwan.
Very close. That would be Bitcoin.
I didn't know Bitcoin was a country.
Yeah. Well, and I should point out that, we're using currency, including the oldest currency in the world that's been in continuous use, which is gold. Useful even for the United States up and through the 1960s or 70s. Some members of our government want to go back to a gold standard. But the Bitcoin moves a lot. It's moving right now. But when I gathered this data yesterday, there were 19.68 million Bitcoins in existence. A maximum supply, as every Bitcoiner knows, I'm sure, of 21 million. Using a price of 70,765 spot 41, there were 1.39 trillion of value in Bitcoin, which the gold number is actually a little harder to calculate. The estimates say this could be plus or minus 30%, but the total gold known value in the world is 13.7 trillion. So Bitcoin has a way to go to unseat gold. Gold sits right below the Chinese yuan, the US dollar, and the euro, and right ahead of the Japanese yen. And conveniently, Mark, I don't know if you've seen this, but all over social media, I've been seeing unboxings of people buying gold bars at Costco. Costco can't keep them in stock. Evidently, they're even you can even get silver bars. That's gaining on gold in terms of popularity at Costco. So just in time for Evan's bar mitzvah, you can get gold bars at Costco. So that's encouraging.
Make sure we register there. Good
idea. yeah, please do. So just kind of amazing. And if you think of Bitcoin, Bitcoin went up in value, like quote unquote value price, by 10x since 2019, since the pandemic. A lot of money was created by the US government, trillions. Some of it went to shore up the economy. Some of it went to people who didn't really need it. A lot of that has flown into asset prices. And Bitcoin has served a pretty nice function. Imagine if the trillion in value. So Bitcoin before COVID, instead of 1.4 trillion, was worth about 140 billion. So that trillion that went into Bitcoin would have gone into maybe stocks, houses, or the economy. So
right.
In kind of an interesting way, it soaked up some of the extra liquidity the government printed. It's reasonable to expect if the money supply is allowed to normalize or some of the excess liquidity is sopped up by the U.S. government, some of that may reverse. But I thought it was interesting. Bitcoin and gold are both in the Bitcoin's right above the Brazilian currency and the Indian rupee and a couple spots below gold. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about central banks around the world loading up on gold. You know, as you know, the world's been desperate for another reserve currency to the US dollar. But as the data shows this week, the US dollar is still the king currency. And there's a great book coming out, Mark. It's on the way at the library. It's called Paper Soldiers, which is about how instrumental the US dollar is for our foreign policy abroad. So far, dollar is still king. Interestingly, we have Bitcoin in the top 10 and gold. Gold is still as relevant as ever.
Hey, you got to wonder, is there a Coinbase account in the name of the United States Treasury? and if so, who's trading that account?
Yes. Does Jerome Powell have one? let's see. So that's, that's some of what's going on with the US dollar and markets. The 10-year really spiked after the inflation report. I know you know this well, Mark, and it's come back down a little bit, just on geopolitical events. And right the day after, CPI was an incredible 10 basis points higher than expectations. So the PPI data was in line with expectations. So where did the 10-year end up today, Mark?
We closed right around 4.51. And what's interesting is a year ago, the 10-year was 3.50. So that's a 30% bump in a year on the 10-year. And as we know, 10-year drives, you know, every other interest rate that's relevant or of any importance to our to the economy, to our clients, to people. The 30-year mortgage, which I know all the real estate brokers were getting very excited a couple of months ago, you know, after the beginning of the year, had dropped, you know, back below 7 after going up, after being up over 8. But now that's back to a 7.30 on a 30-year fix. So, you know, things are still, we come back to pricing and levels. Things jumped up. They've kind of stayed there. And now we're kind of looking at the incremental increases since then. But housing right now is expensive. In fact, there was an article, I think, on CNBC this morning, how Southern California, talking about the LA markets, I think specifically, but how prices are reaching new highs, driven almost completely by cash buyers, right? So yeah. If you, again, further widening that spread and making it even more difficult for first-time homeowners or wannabe homeowners, or those looking to upgrade from their condo or their townhouse to get into, you know, a single family home. And with mortgage rates at this level, you know, that situation is not going to correct itself anytime soon.
Yeah, it turns out it was pretty bad advice when real estate agents and mortgage brokers, their mantra from last year was marry the house, date the rate. It turns out that was pretty poor advice. And to your point on Southern California, Burns Consulting, real estate consulting firm that puts out great data, Rick Palacios, who works over there, just yesterday said of the 60 plus big real estate markets that they rate monthly, only three are very strong, their highest rating, and all three are in Southern California. Yeah. So we're getting back to a little bit of a local market, but as you said, it's pretty unaffordable in most places.
Well, I hope one of those three neighborhoods is your neighborhood, Steve, for your own personal gain, you know.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Okay, so year to date through today's close, the S&P total return, price and dividends, is up 7.4%, pipped by gold, which is up 13.5%. And pretty fascinating, somebody pointed out, on a five-year trailing basis, gold is actually slightly outperforming the S&P. So pretty incredible. If I'm Jerome Powell and I'm the central bank, while I'd be happy that inflation is moderating, I'd be a little concerned that the world is loading up on gold and consumers are rushing to Costco to buy gold bars. You don't want Americans to feel like inflation is becoming entrenched. And, you know, when our au pair arrived from Argentina, the first thing our au pairs from Argentina do is they buy goods. They buy MacBooks. They buy expensive products because they're so used to, well, it's going to be more expensive in a year. I got to buy it now. I would be concerned if I were the Fed. I would not want that mentality to take hold in the United States. And the fact that gold is outperforming the S&P would give me a little reason for pause. But I thought that was an interesting data point. Gold is now outperforming the S&P year to date in the last 5 years.
I'll tell you, we've created two new categories here for economic students going forward, right? We had the Taylor Swift account effect, and now we have the au pair impact.
Trademark. We're trademarking both of those. Speaking of which, it was interesting that just for our third trademark, the Fed Mistake Index, the difference between the 3 month and the 10 year is still hovering. Let's see where we ended today. The 3 month is still nearly
538 versus a 451.
Yeah, exactly. So we still, let's see.
About 87 points.
Yeah, and that historically averages a 40 point differential of an upward sloping curve, and now it's about negative 90 the other way. So you know the curve's been inverted for quite a long time, but the Fed Mistake Index remains pretty high. And the flip side of the Fed delaying their next rate cut, so the market's quickly moving from pricing in three rate cuts this year to maybe we get one, maybe we get none. The concern, especially for market veterans like ourselves, Mark, that remember the 1997 East Asian financial crisis, the 2001 dot-com crash, the 2008 Great Financial Crisis, is the Fed is better at analyzing financial crises or market panics in the rearview mirror. They're much better at that than seeing them happen ex ante. So the longer you have an inverted yield curve and the longer that rates stay so high, while it's important rates stay high to quell inflation, you also risk things like what happened in the UK. You risk issues in the treasury market. It's pretty expensive for the U.S. government to finance its debt at rates this high. And also financial mistakes are more likely just given all the wonkiness in, you know, the price differences between treasury futures and spot bond prices. Anytime you have an inverted yield curve for this long, you're just kind of inviting some hiccups.
And you wonder why there isn't a whole lot of confidence in our government to fix a problem. But just quickly too, because we've used this term and some may not really fully understand it, but inverted yield curve is as follows. If you think of risk reward, you would get paid a higher interest rate for the longer term. Right? If you buy a bond, you buy a shorter term bond, you get your money back sooner, the less risk. If you go out 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you're taking on more risk because you're waiting longer to get your money back. Therefore, you would get a higher rate of return. So the market today is the opposite. You're getting paid a higher rate for shorter term, lower rate for longer term. To put that in numbers, today, the U.S. Treasury, the 1 year closed at a 5.17%. That's if you bought a 1 year U.S. Treasury. If you bought a 5 year U.S. Treasury, you get 4.5%. So you're getting paid less to take on more risk. And not that there's risk in U.S. Treasuries, but that holds true in every bond class out there. Sorry, I had to do a little econ 101 there, Steve.
That was great. That was great, Mark. We'll tie it up with just a few last points, but someone tweeted out something that's absolutely true and also interesting. And you mentioned how much bond yields have changed. At the end of 2021, the 3-month treasury yield was 0.1 and the 10-year yield was 1.5.
Yeah.
Today, as you detailed, the 3-month treasury yield is 5.4 and the 10-year yield is 4.51. And in spite of that, gold's at an all-time high. The S&P 500 is about 1 or 2% off its all-time high. Bitcoin is at an all-time high. Real estate in most markets is at or near all-time highs, which is not what you would have penciled in. Right.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And that's right. It feels good now. There's going to be a day venturing into it. We try not to make too many forecasts over here, but venturing to make one forecast. I think, Mark, there'll be a time when asset allocators, investors like ourselves wake up and look at the screen and say, hey, wait a minute. I can get a risk-free, guaranteed, state income tax-free 4.5-5% yield locked in for the next 10 years, guarantee I double my money, right? Over a little more than a decade, 12 years, 13 years. At some point that realization is going to sink in and perform a little bit of gravity. And the funny thing is when rates came up and markets held up or rallied back, the thought was, oh, well, yeah, because the Fed will just cut soon. Well, right. With the inflation numbers, now we're getting a new update, which is the Fed's not going to be cutting anytime soon.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we've sort of been delaying the reckoning twice.
I got to jump in here because you said the magic word. So if there's any regulator listening to this, you said the word guaranteed. So we are talking specifically about U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, and bills, which is the only investment vehicle, if you will, in the United States, you're allowed to use it because it's guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Just want to be specific because we don't use that word lightly, but we are talking in the rates you're talking about, the returns you're talking about, we're talking about U.S. Treasuries.
That's a great point. And if that return is not guaranteed, then those regulators will not be getting their paychecks. So they won't be here to bust us in case those payments are don't come through. Sorry. No,
let's not poke the bear, Steve. Let's not poke the bear. Okay.
speaking of which, I want to give I don't want to veer into dangerous territory, but I do want to say that I think the regulators are doing a great job, Mark.
You're here.
Okay. Tying it on to the last point, my in-laws are in Japan right now, Mark, and my wife's parents just had dinner in Tokyo. Nice sushi place, tempura, nice full dinner. Did I tell you how much it cost? Guess how much they spent on their dinner in Tokyo.
I don't know, but I know it's going to really upset me because I know what I just spent on lunch here. So
what'd you spend on lunch there?
I think lunch was with tip. 19 or 20 bucks, 22 bucks, something like that.
That's great. They paid $18 for their dinner in Tokyo.
Right.
And they paid $7 for an unlimited subway pass for 2 days.
Wow. Okay. Good for them.
Japan, yeah, Japan's currency relative to the dollar is down 50% since 2011. It's at all-time lows. So, Mark, you know, I had a pretty reasonable idea. So, you mentioned trademarks earlier. I think this is a pretty reasonable idea too. I said to Laura, what if we move some money into the Japanese yen now and pre-fund our future vacation for Japan? She liked that idea.
Okay, look at that. You married a smart girl.
You can move some money into Japanese yen. The JGBs don't pay very much, but you know, you could buy some Japanese stocks like the ones Warren Buffett's been buying over there. This is not
But it's
investment
not, but
advice.
they're not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed, the opposite. But depending on when you want a vacation, you know, if it's a few years down the road, then it might not be a bad call to get some Japanese assets and let the market pay a little bit. We don't know how long the yen will be so cheap, but I think it was TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor, was set to build a plant in the United States. And at the last minute, they decided on Japan instead.
Right.
And they said a
Cheaper.
lot of reasons, but the biggest one is the same one that my in-laws had a $18 dinner in Tokyo.
Right. Cheaper.
So Mark, I don't know if Japan's on your list, but I think it's a great time to go, and I think the flight's going to be pretty full if
I
you
think
want to go to
I think
Japan.
that's Laura trying to call you to book those flights.
It could have been. It could have been.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great way to wrap this up. I think we've given everybody, we've covered a broad range of topics. There's a lot going on, a lot going on in the world. And, you know, we intend to update more frequently. So we'll see where we are in a week or so.
Yeah, this was more or less our first our Q1 update, Q1 2024 update. So while there'll hopefully be podcasts in the interim, we'll be back with the Q2 update for sure in July.
Yeah, well, you'll be listening to us prior to that, guaranteed.
By the way, you sound great on the new microphone, Mark.
Thank you. $19 Amazon. It was probably $5 a year ago, right?
Look how far our money goes. You can get dinner in Tokyo and a microphone for a podcast, all for under
Fantastic. By
$40.
the way, I think it was made in Japan. Okay. I'll take us out here. Remember, the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host. Nothing discussed today should be considered investment advice. And please consult your own financial advisor and tax advisor whenever considering any investment. If you have questions and you're one of our clients, please email us with the term podcast in the subject line. For more information about this podcast, the hosts, and our firm, please visit us at www.mk-am.com. Or email us at info@mk.com. Yes, listen for our podcast release in the very near future.